I'd like to convey a word that I feel the Lord has put upon my heart. And I believe it's a timely word, and I believe it's a word that would give both direction and clarification to our life. And it's a word that we're going to need. And it's a word that really demands action. It demands a choice. It demands on our part that we do something with this word. It's not a word that just is here to entertain, but it's the word that will define you on one side or another. The word itself will define you. It will leave you on one side or it will leave you on another. I've titled this message, A Rush or a Tree. Perhaps some of you are already wondering what that's about. That's why it's the title. The rest is the details. But I began by saying that this message will obligate us to a choice. So if we were to take just the words of the title, I guess that's a choice between a rush or a tree. And as the message develops, we'll understand just exactly what these mean. But I believe that the Holy Spirit, in these times that we're living, will identify, classify, and deal with His people according to the choice that they have made in their life to be either a rush or a tree. I will begin this morning in the book of Job. Job was perhaps one of the oldest books in the Bible, and although it wasn't placed first in the Bible, it is believed to be perhaps the first book in the Bible. It was an ancient man with a lot of understanding and a man who God blessed enormously. But a man who endured a time of great suffering, and a man who endured great hardships in his life and didn't sink. And that has a lesson for all of us, simply because I believe that the book of Job is prophetic for the hour that we live in. Now, having said that, some of you might wonder, what does it mean that it's prophetic for this hour? I mean that the same situation that was in the life of Job is going to be in our life in the day that we are living. And just like he had personal calamity, we are going to know that in our country, and we're going to know that among our people. God is going to deal severely with our country, but God has the answers for His people. And you do yourself a favor to be truly listening this morning with your heart and to make a deep and inner choice this morning between becoming a rush or a tree. And looking now in the 8th chapter of Job, beginning in the 11th verse, can a rush, which is actually a reed grass, a papyrus, grow up without a marsh environment? And can it grow without swamps or water? While it is yet green in bud, and not cut down, it withers faster than any other herb when without water. So are the ways of all of those who forget God. I will repeat it because the emphasis of it will allow you to see things you didn't see while you were looking for the verse in your Bible. Can the rush, that is, the reed grass or papyrus, grow up without a marsh environment? And can it grow without swamps or water? I tell you that while it is yet green in bud and not cut down, it withers faster than any other herb simply because it becomes without water. And then it finishes by saying, so are the ways of all who forget God. So today we are going to place people, seeing as though Job did this with his own words, he uses as an allegory or as an example the rush. He uses the reed grass, these tall reed type of grasses that grow in watery areas on the borders of lakes and coves, and you see it in swamplands and marshes, because it needs damp or moist mire in which to live. It was made by nature to be a plant that's shallow. It was made by nature to be a plant that depends entirely on superficial water. because it is in itself hollow and shallow. It is hollow to drink up water when it is readily given to it. But because its roots are shallow and its life by nature is shallow, it doesn't seek the depths to find the water that aren't just circumstantial and that aren't just superficial. By this I mean that because it is not a deep plant, as long as the water surrounds it and envelops it, it thrives. But in a time of drought or difficulty, you have noticed in lakes, for example, in swamps, that the water recedes and goes down, and those areas that were once marshy become dry. And Job is saying that the reed-like grass, or the rush, or the papyrus, will wither and die faster than any other herb when it's left without water. Because by nature, it depends on superficial water. It can only live with superficial water. If there is an artesian well below it, directly below it, if it doesn't come to the surface, it will still die. Because it cannot seek for water that's underground. It can only live superficially in this world. Hence, those lives which represent the rush are like those lives that live very shallow lives, that have no roots that are long or deep. They're not people that search. They're not people that hunt out. They're people that live always in the now and in the life that's around them. They're worldly people. Though they call themselves Christians, they can be very worldly people. Spurgeon calls them hypocrites, because they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. He calls them people that know what to do, but never do it. He calls them people that live in the flesh life, which is the superficial life, like the waters that are on top of the surface. These plants, these rushes, are totally dependent on fair weather. They're totally dependent on circumstances. They're circumstantial plants, which means that if the circumstances are all right, they will thrive and live. They'll even praise God and thank God. They'll even come to church. But when things get very difficult, when waters recede, they dry up and die fast and wither. Job says that although he uses as an allegory the rush, he represents it to people. He says, so also are all those as the rush. They too will wither away because when they had water, they forgot God. Let me put it to you this way. Superficial water that rushes need to survive and thrive on depend on outward circumstances. They depend on rain. Rain is what keeps the reservoirs filled, what keeps the swamps nice and moist, what keeps the mire and the marshes and the swamps with water for these reeds to grow in, and they survive. These are the people that, although they're in churches and everything is fine, when circumstances are adverse in their life or in their home, they fall apart. They wither in their emotions. They die away from God. They lose their faith. They cannot stand up to the challenge, vicissitudes, difficulties of life, because they have chosen in their own heart of hearts, and they've chosen in their life to be as a rush. They've chosen to be as those that live a superficial life and depend on always on things going favorable. It's the Christians that live by the doctrines of prosperity and blessing. It's known to them that you are green and budding and well and doing wonderful if God is prospering you. But if God is not, something is wrong with you. Because the church is full of rushes. The church is filled with people who, when God does bless them and does prosper them, they use that to drink up all the blessing for themselves and put none of it into their roots. Put none of it to establish depth in their life. Use none of it to establish in their life an anchor that holds them during strong winds. Something that they can reach down and draw. Just like the verse in Isaiah that says, with joy they shall draw from the wells of salvation. Now let me show you the difference between a well and superficial, circumstantial blessing of water that rushes need to live on. You see, as long as God is blessing, as long as rain is falling, these things thrive. They can live the life they want to live. They can live to the flesh. They can endure but still be a Christian and still thank God. See, God is blessing me. I'm doing everything okay. They're using the fact that it's raining as an indication that God is blessing the way that they live. A rush will receive the rain gladly because it is something that thrives circumstantially. But if the circumstances change and there's a drought and it quits raining, it has no power in itself to survive, withers and dies. And that represents a whole nation of Christians around the world that have chosen to live shallow, superficial lives with God that do the talk, that talk the talk, but don't do the do or walk the walk. And they have chosen by themselves, all have been exposed. The tree is exposed to rain. Rushes are exposed to rain. But as long as it rains, they thrive. And when it quits raining, they dry up, they wither. Isaiah says, with joy shall we draw forth from the wells of salvation. He is now no longer speaking of God's showers of blessing. He is not just talking about blessing overtaking you. He's not talking about the pressed down and shaken together stuff. He's talking about the times of famine. He's talking about the times when the crops are not yielding fruit. He is talking about the times when the rains do not come and the clouds do not form and nothing but sun is blistering down on the wilderness and it's drying up and your life is evanishing off of you. And during times of judgment, these people die. But these were the ones singing in churches, happy and dancing and happy-go-lucky that were listening, but they weren't really listening, that made a choice to follow after God's blessing. Spurgeon says that those that follow Christ for the bag are like Judases. And those that clamor after His provisions and His bread and His blessing are as rushes that when they have it, they follow Him. And when He no longer provides for them, they wither away and die. Rushes are those, represents those kind of people that when God blesses them, they praise Him. And when things go wrong in their life, they curse Him. They blame Him. They're angry with Him. They're resentful with Him. They're bitter with Him. And they're bitter with their fellow servants. Why? Because these are people that have so conditioned themselves to live with blessing and prosperity that if suddenly these people or us in America were transported as we have been as missionaries into third world countries where all the things that we so depend on were stripped from us, we wouldn't know how to live. We would suddenly be lost without internet. We would be lost without computers. We would be lost without electricity. We would be lost with all the little things that make our coffee and do everything but make our bed up in the morning. What we don't understand is that there is a choice that all of us make as we walk through life with God of either becoming a rush or a tree. We haven't started with the tree yet. In contrast, I left the positive for later. But the rush represents a lot of people in this life that call themselves Christians. One thing is to enjoy rains when they fall and be soaking up water that's abundant and flooding around you and you're thriving and everything's going good. And it's another thing to have to draw out water deep underneath the ground and have to work at finding the moisture. The good thing is that it doesn't really matter what's happening upstairs because these lives aren't superficial. These lives don't depend on favorable circumstances. There could be a desert up there, but if you have a well in the desert, you can still have water. Now, curiously enough, the prophet shows us what the root system that draws that water is, or in the case of those that are on the surface, what the pitcher is, and that's joy. Isn't it amazing to you that the people that are rushes lose their joy? Job is saying the biggest problem with people that make a choice to just enjoy God's blessing and don't build root systems during that life is because of their nature. You see, the nature of the tree is to put roots deep down into the ground. The nature of the rush is to stay superficial. It's the nature that killed it. It's not God that takes away the circumstances, because the circumstances are removed from both. When you remove the circumstances away, the very things that bless the rush are removed from it. It dries up, but the tree thrives because it's learned to draw its water. Do you know why a tree can rejoice? Because it doesn't matter what's happening up there. It can draw its life regardless. These are the people that when everything goes wrong in their life, they're still spiritually strong. They still know how to draw from the source of salvation. Who is the source of water? Who is the source of life but God? And Job says, rushes by nature forget God when everything's going good. You see, a tree, when everything's going good, when there's water and when there's rain, it's actively busy building roots. Not just tree. Not just branches, not just leaves, but roots. If you want to know how far extended from the trunk the roots are of a tree, look up and find the longest branch. And as long as the branch is, that's how wide the roots are. If you want to know really how deep the roots are, look at how tall the tree might be. You see, the nature of the tree is to live as much underground as over. So when all the blessings get cut off upstairs, it can go through long droughts. An oak living several hundred years has gone through a lot of droughts. We came to a place where we had no water to drink, but the oaks are still doing good. Why? Because during the time of blessing, they drew near to the Lord to build an underground system. Roots that held it during the time of crisis. I'd like to just say this morning that those that are rushes by nature and by the choices that they make, they go to church, but they don't have an intimate relationship with God, because during the times of blessing and during the times of revival and during the times of God moving and during the times that everything went well and God was prospering their country, we became the most industrialized, prosperous country in the world, they forgot God. These are the kind that don't bother during times of blessing to get close to the Lord. They don't need it. Why should they? He's blessing them. If they need healing, just rush to church. They'll pray for you to get healed. If you lost a job, rush to church. Put in a prayer request. There's a whole bunch of prayer warriors praying for you. Yes, but you know what the difference is? The prayer warriors will be there when it dries up. But your next crisis will find you drying up and dead. Because we live superficially, circumstantially, and we're people that are moved up when things are good, and we're moved downward into depressions and oppressions when things go wrong. And those kind of, the rushes kind of people always feel like God has it out for them when things start going wrong. Whereas the other, the trees, know it's just another challenge, just another hard, cold winter that they can still keep working to draw close to God. They are the ones that are so, that have thrown so many roots deep down into the Word of God that they stand on His promises when they don't feel like it, when it doesn't look like it, when it's not operational, when there's no water anywhere, when there's no sun even. And the sun disappeared, the water disappeared, the rain disappeared, and they have deep, long roots
in the promises of God that says, I don't care what this looks like, He hasn't forsaken me. I don't care what it feels like. I know that God is still here manifesting Himself. I don't care what happens here. These are the people that grow, that thrive during times of difficulty. You know what the difference is? Judgments come to country when people get out of hand. But judgment is going to destroy a lot of people. All the rushes will dry up and die. All the superficial people living for all the things that have to do with the crust of the earth on up. But the ones that dealt with the fire, the ones that let God deal with things deep inside of them, the ones that established a relationship with God, the ones that walked with God, with them it's different. You see, rushes actively practice sin with no repentance or forsaking of it. Why should they? It's still raining. God must be approving of my life. Things are still going good. I haven't lost my job. Things are going good. No one's nuked America yet. Everything is just fine. Why can't I just live the life that I'd like to keep living? I don't need repentance. Well, honey, those that even when God is blessing you, the tree-natured people, those that have chosen to dig deep into God and to hang on to God and to look for Him and let every part of their life be changed by Him, and they don't just willy-nilly practice sin without any source or any type of repentance in their life or any type of thought to forsake any of it or at least fight against it to the last drop of blood, are those that when everything, when all hell breaks loose, if you'll allow me to say that, and judgment comes to the country, they are the ones that God protects and spares. Why? Because He has an investment in them. There's not much invested in grass, but there's a whole lot invested in an oak tree. God has many years of walking with the oak tree. A rush or a tree? You see, these people that are rushes forget God. They don't put Him first. During the time that God was good to them and blessed them, and they always knew that they didn't have to come to church because if they just skipped out for a few weeks, when they came, God would still be there. Some woke up to a night, 400-year night, when God was not speaking, where churches did not experience God, where the face of God was numbed over and the people perished. But those like Daniel, even in their tribulation, even as a slave, even in another country taken away as judgment from God, found favor both with God and with the king. How can this thing be? Because Daniel chose to be a tree. He's the one that sought after God. He didn't just wait until showers of blessing filled him. My dad used to say, when they used to sing a song that says, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. That was a song they used to sing many years ago. My dad used to make fun of that. He said, if the only time you're going to pray is when you feel the Spirit moving you to pray, you're going to have a prayerless life. Rushes wait until they feel the Spirit moving them to pray. Trees dig into God. They seek after God. They search after Him. They look for Him where He can't be found. They dig deep in the ground. They hang on to the vine and stay there no matter how bad it gets. Those are the ones that have decided on a different kind of life. Sometimes they are the ones that get ridiculed and ostracized as being too religious. Because you know what? If you get to the place where you feel like you've got to be in church every time there's church, if you believe that you've got to pray every day, if you believe that you've got to really seek God out, you know what? You've got to be like I am. You got to just enjoy God when He's here, and when He's not, just wait till He comes again. Well, honey, if you wait too long and come again, you're going to die. If the showers of blessing are too long and too far in between, your life is going to dry out. If your life depends on your husband always being perfect, you're going to die. If your life depends on your mother or your wife being perfect and life and circumstances being good and you always having a good, healthy salary and not having to go through hardships in life, honey, you're going to dry up and die when judgment comes because the whole economy fails. The only ones that seem to survive are those that God feeds in the wilderness. those that God sends ravens to. God sends that to the trees, to the tree-natured ones, to those that when God was blessing, used that blessing to get near to God and not forsake and forget Him. You see, the principle that Job was trying to teach is that while water was sustaining the rush, while God's blessing was pouring down, while rain was coming down, while they were full of water, they forgot God. It's not that we forget God when things go wrong. Have you ever noticed that those are the people that come running to church when all hell breaks loose? When a 9/11 hits America, two-thirds of the nation remembered that they were Christians. Rushes. But there are trees that didn't need to rush anywhere because they were already there. It didn't hurt their life. It didn't harm them. They happened to feel a terrible urge to drink a cup of coffee, so they delayed their time of arrival at work only to save their life. And think back later, my God, a cup of coffee saved my life. Now that's a tree. The rushes had all rushed into the building. I paint a picture for you in hope that this picture will lead you to a reality. A rush or a tree? The reality is that many of us coast through life in a very superficial way with God. And we have very little time for all the things that these preachers get into that just mortify our life and flesh. And seem to want, in times of blessing and prosperity, to take as much of it from us or to get us not to depend on any of it. If things go great, praise the Lord. If they go bad, praise the Lord. There's no cows in the stalls, no grain in the field, I will yet praise the Lord. Because their life aren't dependent on the circumstantial, the evidential, the superficial. They're not dependent on just blessing alone. How many of us have come to think, as many represent by their attitudes and their words, if things are going bad for you, God must be judging you. He's got it out for you. Honey, the only reason why God holds back the drought isn't to dry up the rush. It's not God's fault that a rush is a rush. You say, well, genetically it was born a rush, poor little guy. It's not his fault. Well, I'm glad to tell you that you are not locked into any particular spiritual genetic other than what you desire to be. You have the choice today, this very day, you have the choice. If you're going to wait until the rain stop, if you're going to wait till judgment comes to America to come running to God, it'll be too late because judgment will wither you and dry you out. Judgment won't make you right. You see, the tree doesn't worry about storms. It doesn't worry about the lack of them. It doesn't worry about whether it rains or not because it can get water. It doesn't worry whether there's 6 feet of snow up above. That will kill the rush because it so depends on circumstances. You know, some people that live in churches all their life are so emotionally dependent. They are so circumstance dependent. If everything goes good, they're up. They're these people that will dance and shout, and they're bubbly, and they're sanguine personality spiritually, and they're just up and up. But when things go wrong, they come dragging in and even drag the service down for everybody else. Rushes. Trees don't care if there's 6 feet of snow because they're living down there in the root of God's Word. They're living down there. They're drawing water where there is no water. They're drawing sun in spite of the fact it might be 30 below zero. They're still getting something out of the sun. Not enough to pop leaves out and to make them vibrant and happy. But not enough to put birds in their limbs and berries in their limbs. But yes, enough to survive and draw that life into their roots so it grows even deeper. These are the people, it doesn't matter what God does to them, they go through the trials triumphantly. They come out of those trials scarred, bent, but not busted. Those that have tree natures are those that have chosen during times of blessing to get near to God and not forsake Him. You see, people say, if God's been good to me, I don't need to come to Him. Look how good it is. Look how God rushes after me. Look how God looks for me. Look how God takes care of me. God must love me. I must be God. He is my servant and I am God. Like the story I told you one time. The cat and the dog. You know, personally, the choice is ours. No one's blaming anyone. No one's pointing a finger this morning. No one's telling you you're bad or good because I don't make that choice for you. As you listen, you make the choice yourself. As you listen to me today, as you listen to the Holy Spirit's word through me today, you will be finding where you're at. You will discover yourself. The word will discover where you're at. And you're saying, well, God came to judge me. No, He just came to show you that if this is how it is, you need to change. He needs to show you that if this is how it is, you need to keep going. Keep fighting the fight of faith. Keep seeking for God when He can't be found. Keep going on when all things dry up. Keep putting down roots when everybody's laughing at you. Keep being faithful and serving God and loving Him when He's not seemingly loving you back and rains aren't coming down and the marshlands aren't moist. Keep coming to church when nobody else does. Keep praying. Keep in the prayer intercessor group and not the ones that need to put a prayer request in all the time. Be among those that have chosen to be trees. Because then in time of famine, in time of drought, in time of trouble, they flourish. Contrary to the rush, the tree during good times spends its energy developing roots. Roots represent that which adds stability, that which needs not rely or depend on circumstances for its survival. They dig down and get their own nourishment. They don't depend on someone else feeding them. During times of drought, they are deep enough to draw their own moisture for life. That's the nature of a tree. It is when God is blessing and prospering that those persons who have natures that represent trees ground themselves in God's Word, developing deep roots. They are not like the rush, which is shallow and barely planted in the mire. No, they are trees. They are of a different nature. Persons who have natures that represent trees engage in daily fellowship with the Lord as the only true source of the water of life. They are the ones that have learned to draw waters from the wells of salvation. One thing is when it's raining, the waters come to you, but drawing water means you come to the water. Come to the water. Jesus said, come unto me if you thirst. People could have stayed where they were. The rushes stay where they are, waiting for Jesus Christ to bless